see Catherine here this morning in from school. Spring break, right? Boy, that sounds good, spring break. Ours is coming up soon, and so that'll be good. And so get rid of the snow and the weather and get into the springtime. And when that happens, I may not be able to talk, but I always have trouble. But trying to take care and trying to do some different things to help the voice, and seems to be doing a little better. And again, thank you for your prayers. Just continue to do that. Thank the Lord for amplification. I don't have any volume at all, so I can sort of adjust that. And Miss Mary, can you hear me? Good. She said she has the assisted hearing there, and the battery was dead, and so we took care of that this morning. All right, if you would take your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter number 4. Thank you. That does help. Mark chapter number 4. I'm going to also try to take care of the service tonight. I feel like that if I can do that, I need to. And pray that the Lord to help. And then next maybe two or three more weeks, be able to get back into our study in Revelation. We'll have to go back a lot and review and recap and take care of that. But we'll try to get back into that as soon as we can. Mark chapter number 4. In this chapter, if we took the time, we go back and see that there's some parables that are given here that the Lord is speaking to his disciples. Those parables were to give them a message that was hidden from everyone else, but could be made known unto them. We would call it, probably in our modern day English, we would call it a illustration or something close to that. But he spoke to them in parables. Then also chapter 4, we find that there is a healing, and there's different activities that's taking place. I want to begin reading in verse number 33. Mark chapter 4, verse 33. It says, "And with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear." So he has spoken and given all day lessons and given these parables to his disciples. And verse 33 says it was given that they were able to hear. Verse 34. "But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples." Now verse 35. "And the same day, when even was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat upon the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and under the sea, peace be still. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, Why are you so fearful? And how is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The same day as the Lord has given these parables, he gave them to his disciples, and they did not understand. And then he explains to them all the different things. We could go back and look at the teaching that he gives there, but this morning I want us to look at verse 35 through verse 41 and note some things here as they went to the other side. Two or three weeks ago on maybe a Sunday night, I gave you a message on how that the Lord was needed at the well. There was a woman there that had great need in her life, and the Lord took care of that need. Last Sunday morning, I gave the message on he was needed in the storm. And all of us, we have our storms. We have our difficulties. We have our problems. And thank God he's there when the storms arise. He's there when the calm is no longer there and the struggles come upon us. But it's not any good if he's just there. Thank God this morning we need him at the very control center of our storm. And the verses that we read this morning, again, there's a storm. There's a problem that arises. And it wasn't enough that the Lord was there, but they had to have him in right position. You and I this morning, we have him in our hearts as believers, as Christians, as people of God. He owns us, and thank God we belong to him. He belongs to us. But in order for us to go through the storms, we don't need him as our co-pilot. We need him as our pilot. We don't need him as one that is helping us. We need him as one that's taking care of us. And I believe in these verses this morning that we read, we find that Jesus was needed at the helm of the ship. He was at the place that had to be where the controls were. The helm of the ship was always where the steering part of the boat was. And when someone's at the helm of something, that means they're the head of that. Whether it be a physical ship, boat, or whether it be a business, whatever it is, the person that's at the helm of it is the one that has the control and steers it in a certain way. The ship has a hull. That hull is what goes and sits on the water. It has a bow. That's the front part. It has a stern. That's the back part. But also, nothing happens in that ship or that boat unless someone is at the helm, unless someone's taking control and steering that particular ship. Matthew Henry has a commentary. It's a very old commentary. It's a very wordy commentary. You don't just sit down and read Matthew Henry. They've condensed it. I think they've condensed it down to one volume. It's about that thick. That's just one volume. The whole Matthew Henry commentary is volume after volume after volume. But he has some very good things on particular portions of Scripture written long, long time ago. But he makes this statement, these statements about this particular verse, verse number 38, when they said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" He writes these words. He had a pillow there such as as a fisherman's ship would furnish him. And he slept. As he did this, it was to try the faith of his disciples and to stir up their prayer. Upon the trial, their faith appeared weak and their prayers appeared strong. Note, sometimes when the church is in a storm, Christ seems as if he is asleep, unconcerned in the troubles of his people, and regardless of their prayers, and doth presently appear, does not appear for relief. While Christ was asleep in this storm, and here we are told that it was the hinder part of the ship. This is the pilot's place. He lay at the helm. What better place for the captain to be of our souls? For it is in those hinder parts where the controls of the ship will be. Make no mistake, there is no lying. He is in full control. And that's the end of the quote. I want us to look at four things this morning concerning the Lord at the helm and how that we need him. And these are some of the words that he gives to his disciples. Notice in verse number 35, it says, "In the same day, when evening was come, he said unto them," just the next two words, "let us." Jesus says to his disciples, he's taught them, he's preached to them all day long. They've heard his words, they've heard his parables, they've wondered at what it meant. And he sits down and explains to them all those words that he said. And now as the sun begins to fall and darkness begins to come in the evening time, the Lord comes to them and he says to them, "Let us." I put out beside those two words, words of comfort. I'm glad this morning that the Lord says to you and I, "I'm going with you." He didn't just tell his disciples, "You've got to go across." He said, "Let us." You and I this morning, everywhere we go, everything we face, every difficulty of life, every problem that comes before us, I'm glad there is a "let us" there for us. He is there to help us. And he being in that ship, you can be assured, even though they did not understand it, but we can be assured and we do know that this ship was unsinkable. Because the Bible says there in verse 37, it's full of water. Now a ship that's full of water, what's it going to do? It's going to sink. But all this ship did was continue to float and to continue to give much fear to those disciples. It was overflowing, yet it was still sailing. It was a problem to these disciples, for they knew that tragedy was ahead. Our lives may be full of obstacles and full of waves and full of storms, but I'm glad he says, "Let us." We never face a storm that he's not there with us. We never face a difficulty that our Lord is not there to help us. It doesn't matter where it is, doesn't matter what it is, thank God, "let us." The ship was overflowing, yet it was still sailing. It was oppressed by the wind, but it was still sailing forward. And the omniscient presence of our Lord was there with them, and therefore the ship was not going down. The ship was not going to sink. The ship was going to continue on the course because Jesus said, "Let us go to the other side." There's the confidence that we have, not just the words "let us" being comforting, but the words that says, "Let us go to the other side." For whatever the Lord says, you can be assured it will happen. The Lord told them, "We're going to the other side." And the Lord's told you and I, praise the Lord, we're going to the other side. We don't know the trip that we're going to take. We don't know the path that we will follow. We don't know the obstacles, the storms, the problems that may arise in our life. But we have been told we are going to the other side. There is a destination for every believer. There is a place that we are going to one day abide, and that place is called heaven. And he says, "I've gone to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." And so these words of comfort become words of confidence. The ship, the Lord was in it, is the bigger of the ships. The scripture tells us in verse number 36, it says, "There was also with them other little ships." Now there's nothing in the scripture that is there just to be filling up space. These are words that we need to imagine and need to consider. We know that the Lord's ship, by these words, It was the larger of all the ships. But there are some other little ships too. Can you imagine the fear and the problem that those little ships were having? If the big ship is full of water, what about the little ships? If the big ship is being beat and battered, even with the Lord there, what about those smaller vessels? You know, they were being tossed any and every which way. If the storm can beat the big ship, it can beat the little ships much harder. We look around and storms come to all of us. And there are some of us that we feel like, how can we go through that? Just realize there's somewhere someone else that's struggling, that's suffering worse than we are. There are difficulties much more problematic to people than maybe what I have or you have. And so if the storm comes to us, sometimes as a what we would call a seasoned Christian, somebody's been saved a long time, somebody that depends upon the things of God's word, when those storms come to people like that, you can be assured that when the storm comes to the newborn babes in Christ, how they're tossed, how they struggle. And sometimes we look down and say, they shouldn't act the way they act. The only problem with that statement, we shouldn't say what we say. Because every one of us, we face difficulties a different way. Someone told me the other day they were having some problems, and I could not identify with it because I've not been there. And sometimes we look at folks and say, well, they looks like they would do it this way. Wonder how we would do it if we were there. Wonder how we would handle the problem. You name the problem. We can see everybody and say, well, I would do this, I think. I believe I would do that. Maybe I would do that. The problem is it's the believe and the think and the maybe. Because we don't know what we would do till we're there. I can look at situations and say, I think I would do this. I get in that situation, I might not do what I think I would. And so these little ships, they were tossed and they were thrown back and forth. And the big ship was in such dire need. It was full of water. It was going to go down, humanly speaking. The question is, how much water can you take on your ship? How much wind can blow against us and still go forward? How much water are we taking on? How much wind is pressing against us? I thought about, as they were in the water, how much salt water do we want in our face? How much murky water do we want coming up, hitting us? We don't want that. But sometimes we have to face that. And thank God the Lord says we're going to the other side. There was not one thing that could happen. And I believe this with all my heart. There's not one thing that could happen to keep them from going to the other side. Because the Lord said, we're going. Praise the Lord. My Bible tells me that when we believe and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're going to the other side. We may be one of those little ships sometime. We may think we've arrived. We may think we're that big ship that we can handle it. But rest assured, when the storms come, we need somebody to tell us it's okay. We need someone to give us words of comfort. I'm with you. And we need someone to give us confidence. I'm with you, and we're going. We don't know, as I said a while ago, we don't know the path that we take. We don't know how we're going to leave. But as a child of God, we're going to the other side. I saw, and we have all experienced this, I've seen people just immediately, they're gone. Sharon's father, when he died, we just got word that he was dead. Immediately, a massive heart attack. My dad, he had not been sick his entire life. And in December, he had lung surgery. January or February, he had brain surgery. All cancer. And in July, he was gone. We're all going to leave. My mom, you all know that story. For about 8 years, little by little. But with my dad and my mom, I have assurance they're on the other side. Words of comfort, words of confidence. And then thirdly, verse 39, words of calm. What did the Lord say? Peace. He just simply said, peace, be still. Let's read verse 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. Notice what happens. The wind ceased, and there's a great calm. At the very words of our Lord, the storm was over. The word there that's used for peace is a word that we would use, and we would say, be silent, be calm. Literally, the word means an involuntary stillness. The storm was raging. Involuntarily, that means it didn't want to. Out of the ordinary. But at the words of our Creator, when He said, peace be still, like a mirrored sea. Can you imagine what those little ships thought? Can you imagine the surprise? And immediately the storm was over. Be silent, be calm. Who but God can speak with such authority and power? Who but God can speak a line of reassurance to our hearts? When we're troubled, when difficulty arises, when problems come, and they do come, only our God can say, peace be still, and my heart is calmed. In the midst of the activities of life, God can calm our fears. Who but God can speak calm into our heart, into our fears? These words are spoken, and the winds and the sea, the waves, they have to obey. Words of calmness. These words were heard by the men aboard this ship. I'm sure it was not just the disciples. I believe the Lord was, I think He spoke them loud enough that anybody around could have heard them. Brother, when the Lord speaks, He takes care of things. When God deals with us, He has ability, He has ways of taking care of the needs that we have. Those things that we have that are so troubling and such struggles to us, it just takes one word from the Lord. It doesn't take a sermon. Doesn't take a volume of books. It just takes a word. That's how great our God is. And the Bible tells us that we that are His sheep, we know His voice. We hear His call. And I'm telling you what, when God says it's okay, it's okay. When He says it's going to be all right, then we can rest assured that it will be all right. Sometimes we struggle. Sometimes our faith is just like these disciples. I don't put these disciples down too much, because I would be just like them. What did they say here? Master, carest thou not that we perish? Remember now, He is the one that has just explained to them the parable of the sower. He's the one that's explained to them the parable of a candle, the mustard seed, all those parables that are listed here beforehand. He's the one that has just given them abundant understanding of things of life. And they come to Him and they say, we would say, do you not care? Why, sure He cares. That's the whole reason He was here. And I believe when they came to Him, I doubt very seriously they'd say, Master, there's a storm. No, I don't think they came to Him that way. How would you come? How would I come to someone that had ability? Master! If I could say it louder, I would. That took a lot. But do you not care? You're here. They're in the area of the controls of the whole ship. Do you not care? Do you not care that we perish? And so He just gets up. And I believe maybe He spoke those words as harshly and loudly, maybe as they had woke Him up. Peace be still. And immediately, it was like a mirror. The waves were stopped and the wind was gone. The Bible says here the wind ceased. That's what caused the waves. When He speaks. Verse number 40, number 4. And He said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? I believe these are words of concern. Concern for His people. How is it that you are fearful? I've been with you all these days, and now it's come into many days and years. How is it that you are so fearful? I have told you I'm with you. I have told you we're going to the other side. How come you don't believe me? That's really what He's saying. No faith. He didn't say they had little faith. He said they had no faith. They just did not accept. And I'll tell you what, fear bothers our faith. the greatest thing that we all deal with is the fear of the unknown. I don't know what's going to happen this afternoon. I have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow, next month, next year. And so when we begin to meditate and look at all those things, sometimes fear will come upon us. And sometimes that fear belittles and destroys faith that we ought to have, that God says it's going to be okay. We're going to the other side. He didn't say we wouldn't have problems. He didn't say we wouldn't have storms. But he did say we're going to make it. He did say it'll be taken care of. And so here we note within his voice some concern. He's concerned about their faith. The Lord's asking the questions, really, do you not believe? Why are you so fearful? That really, that word fearful means that everything about their emotions had been overtaken by fear. Now I do not, and I think every Christian, when we understand life as a believer, we do not fear death. But I'll tell you one thing, we fear dying. We fear the progression of life. I can die today. I'm on the other side. But I look at folks, I look at people, and I say, I hope I don't go through that. Now, there's no easy way on the family of leaving this life. No, not one. If it's sudden and immediate, it shocks you. If it's a short period of time you try to get ready for, you're not ready for it. If it's a 6 or 8 year progress of deterioration and decay, and you're still not ready for it. So there's no easy way of leaving here, but we're leaving. And we better be prepared to know that we're going to the other side. He says here, He didn't just say, why are you fearful? There's a little word there. It's important. Somebody tell me what it is. So. Why are you so fearful? Overtaken. That little word, S-O. Very important. For God so love the world. That means beyond measure. Overtaken. The Lord Jesus didn't just love the world. God didn't just love the world. He so loved the world. God was so overtaken by his love for mankind that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And so the Lord says to these disciples, why are you so fearful? Why are you overtaken? Why are you so struggling with the storm? Because I've already told you, we're going to the other side. It is when we face the problems of life, it's when we come through the difficulties of life, that we must hear his voice. We must know him. When we face the things of life, sometimes the very magnitude comes at us and we become so faithless. But they heard his voice. And then they begin to say, verse 41, this. Put wonder in their heart. Put a understanding once again. What manner of man is this? Oh, we know. He's Master. We know he's Messiah. We know he's Savior. What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? And then I'm sure the problem came into their mind, and we do not. The wind obey him and listens and responds. The sea becomes calm. What manner of man is this? Nature falls at his very word, and we're fearful, and we're faithless. Thank God we can hear his voice. We can know him. I'm glad I know him personally. It's not just an individual that I hear in passing. That's the majority of quote-unquote Christianity today. The Bible says, will the Lord find faith when he comes again? I'm afraid he's not going to find much. Churches are full of people. Pews are full of individuals. But I'm afraid there's not a whole lot of faith. May God help us to hear his voice. May God help us when he speaks to us. We will listen. And if we do, we'll come to the same conclusion as these disciples did. What manner of man is he anyway? He can handle every problem, every need, every situation. Let's stand together this morning. For invitation, I just want you to listen to this. If the Lord has spoken to your heart, you can make an altar where you are. You can bow your head. You can speak. It's so wonderful. We don't have to come forward. We don't have to do anything to talk to our God. Because he's led us. He's with us.
Drowning in the waves of the ocean. when he speaks, my soul does rejoice. When he speaks, my heart knows no fear. Oh, the peace when he speaks.
Amen. When he speaks. I pray that he's spoken to all of our hearts this morning, that we'll follow him. When he speaks, I can hear, and I can follow. Be back tonight, 6 o'clock, and I'm going to try it again. This will be a first, two in a row. But I feel my voice is strong enough to do that. And I thank him. Let's be dismissed in prayer.